Every year when we reach the end of the liturgical year, the readings at Mass turn our minds toward the end of time and the return of the Son of God in glory. And if you just take the texts themselves, you think they're sort of terrifying. Daniel talks about a time that is unsurpassed in distress. Then many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some living forever, others being an everlasting horror and disgrace. Jesus talks about the sun being darkened, the moon no longer giving light, stars falling from the sky, the heavens being shaken. I mean, if you think about these things in terms of a reality that could happen or will happen, it can be very terrifying. Some people, though, I think, when they think about the end of the world and the judgment that we will all face, have more fear of what that judgment is going to be like than they have fear of any of these other things, these sort of natural, phenomena. The sun going dark might not be natural, but the things having to do with the created world. But a lot of people are very much afraid of that whole moment of judgment. Others probably just sort of scoff at a lot of this end of the world type talk and say, well, we've heard lots of people predicting that and none of it has come true so far, so we'll just wait and see. But I think a lot of it has to do with having the proper understanding of what judgment means and what our judgment will be like. Every single one of us will face judgment, either at the end of our lifetime, or if Jesus returns in glory before that, it'll be on that day. But sometimes we think of judgment as appearing before the judge and pleading that he will have mercy on us, and that we are trying to make up the judge's mind about us. So some, perhaps, are hoping that they die on a day when God is in a good mood. Well, God isn't moody. But it kind of shows that sometimes we think of judgment as God making a decision about where we will spend eternity. And indeed, God is the judge. But think for a moment about how the court system works, or how judgments are passed down in our systems today. If you think about, if you are brought to court, let's say you're being accused of robbing a bank. There is a truth that exists even before you appear in the courtroom. You know whether you did it or not. God knows whether you did it or not. Now, in our legal system today, I think the goal is to try to convince the judge that you didn't, whether you did or not. But that's not how our final judgment will be. And if we were approaching a judge in our human courtrooms, in our society today, if we were approaching a judge who knew everything, then it wouldn't be a matter of trying to put together a strategy going into court. We would want to live our life so that if we ever appeared in court, the truth would stand for itself. And we wouldn't have to resort to all kinds of tactics and everything. And that's how it is, really, in the spiritual life, in the heavenly realm. When we face our judgment, when our time on earth has come to an end, it doesn't have to be something that gives us fear or terror. When we know that we're going to face a judge who is going to see the very truth of our life, then all we really have to focus on is the fact that we want to live our life now in such a way that we are building our case for our moment of judgment at the end. Because God sees all of it. He's not going to wait until the end to see whether we loved him or not, whether we desired true life or not, whether we lived for others or not. The truth of our life is being established now, today, tomorrow. This is our chance to determine what our story is when we arrive at our last day. There are a couple of saints who must have reached a point in their life where they came to this realization that they were going to be judged in the end, not by God's whim or a mood or something like that, but they were going to be judged on the life that they lived. And I'm not sure what their life story was, but a couple of these saints adopted kind of a motto for their life. And their motto was, "Now I begin. Now I begin. Today I begin." So that we can look back, no matter what our history is, and say, all of that is in the hands of God. And we can receive God's mercy today to take care of all of that. But today I begin anew. Today I decide to live my life for others. Today I decide to live my life for God. I'm going to strive this day, not worrying about tomorrow or the next day. I'm going to begin anew today. Every morning we have that opportunity. We can get up and we can be all bogged down by what happened yesterday or 30 years ago. Or we can say, I begin now. Now I begin anew. And I'm going to continue, or I'm going to start today building my life or putting together the truth of my story that I want to present to God on my last day. So that when I appear there, there's no doubt. Not that God is going to learn something on that day. But it will be abundantly clear what I lived for. It will be abundantly clear what I desire in eternity. Some people may arrive at that day. God may say something like, "You didn't even want to spend an hour a week with me. How am I supposed to believe that you want to spend eternity here?" I don't know. That'll be up to God. God sees into the heart, though. But we can always say, now I begin. Whatever has been in the past, whatever will come in the future, we can say, now I begin. I'm getting a fresh start now. Sacrament of confession is a great way of doing that. But even without that, we each have the opportunity every day to start anew. So that when we reach that day of judgment, there is no cause for terror. There's no need for fear. Nor is there presumption that God will just put aside everything we ever did. He gives us his grace now so that we can live for him now. But when we reach the day of judgment, we truly have a new beginning. But in a certain sense, it will be a continuation of what we choose today.